Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
More than 300 people convicted in the January 6th riot are waiting to hear how the Supreme Court will rule in a decision that will affect them and could also affect January 6th charges against former President Trump. This is the case of accused insurrectionist Joseph Fisher. He was seen in the Capitol building on January 6th. But justices are hearing arguments today on whether federal prosecutors should have used a law from 2002 to charge him with obstructing the certification of the vote. The 2002 law, Congress made it illegal to shred documents and destroy evidence to obstruct an official proceeding, in that case, the government investigation of Enron. But the law goes on to say, or otherwise obstruct or impede any official proceedings. So does otherwise mean the same thing, otherwise destroy evidence? That's what Fisher's lawyers are saying. Or does otherwise mean otherwise impede in a different way, like take over the Capitol to stop the certification of the presidential vote, which federal prosecutors are arguing? Kim Whaley is a professor at the University of Baltimore Law School and a former assistant U.S. District Attorney in Washington, D.C. And Kim, first, can you just give us a very brief broad brush of what you're hearing today?
Well, as you indicate, this is a very specific question on the wording of a statute that was used to charge hundreds of people around January 6th. And it sounds like at least two justices, Justices Alito, Justice Roberts, are not sympathetic to the government. All the women on the court, I think, were more sympathetic to the government. So I think it'll come down to Justices Kavanaugh, Thomas, and Gorsuch as to whether all of these convictions could potentially be upturned in the next few months.
Well, here's Justice Neil Gorsuch asking, you know, what does constitute a disruption?
Would a sit-in that disrupts a trial or access to a federal courthouse qualify? Would a heckler in today's audience qualify or at the State of the Union address? Would pulling a fire alarm before a vote qualify for 20 years in federal prison?
And Justice Sonia Sotomayor seemed to argue for a wider view of the law.
There is a sign on the theater. You will be kicked out of the theater if you photograph or record the actors or otherwise disrupt the performance. If you start yelling, I think no one would question that you can be expected to be kicked out under this policy.
And did anybody say, we're wondering, Kim, did any of the justices say, and if you say things like, hang Mike Pence and where's Nancy Pelosi? We're going to get her. And if you had guns and weapons and beat police officers, is that pretty clearly impeding a proceeding, which was, again, the formalization of the vote? Did anyone say that?
Not those particular words, but the Solicitor General Elizabeth Preligar did mention that the defendant who has appealed this case himself said that, you know, they can't vote if they can't breathe, and was caught on camera assaulting a police officer. And so certainly the government and Justice Sotomayor and others were trying to make clear this isn't, you know, just kind of being disruptive, exercising your First Amendment rights to protest in a way that could irritate a judge or irritate people that are engaged in an official proceeding. This, and just General Preligar mentioned, this has never happened before. So the argument that this is being used in a novel way circles back to January 6th itself. So it was subtle. It was there the whole time, but most of the argument was really around technical wordsmithing, pro and con.
Well, most of the lower court judges who've been sentencing other accused insurrectionists held otherwise to mean, you know, in the different manner, you know, impeding the proceedings. They held up that statute. Only two judges didn't. They were Mr. Fisher's, and one was Trump appointed. Can I ask a potentially stupid question, just briefly, especially if it's stupid? Why not ask the lawmakers who passed the law what they meant?
Now, well, that isn't a stupid question. That's a huge question in constitutional or legislative interpretation and constitutional interpretation. You know, really, at the end of the day, the only way to determine how the legislature spoke is to read the plain language. And I think all the justices seem to agree here that you could read it both ways. So then the question is who gets to decide which way to read it and which way not. They did talk about the purposes behind Enron, the amendment to the statute. That is, there was a big gap in the obstruction obstruction statute, that if you shredded your own documents, they couldn't go after you. But if you got someone else to shred their documents for you, you could. And that was the argument. Listen, they wanted a broader brush here. But there's no way to kind of just now capture the idea of the entire legislature, the voting members. And the justices differ on whether that's even relevant based on their jurisprudential philosophy.
So this is about Mr. Fisher, the accused insurrectionist, but it could affect the others who are already jailed. It could affect trials going forward. In the few seconds we have, could it affect Donald Trump?
Yeah, two of the four counts in the January 6th case are under the statute. I think the argument is, he tried to push false slates of electors, and that there's plenty of ways to tie him to actual documents. Right. And that's really what the defendant's argument is here.
Kim Whaley, University of Baltimore Law School, thank you.
You're welcome.